Before I get into the message, I just want to say something for those who are listening on the archive, on the recording, is we're sorry we didn't get a live stream up today. We had some trouble with the video getting it going. So we will be working on that this week, but we do have our message. We'll be posting it, of course. If you've already found it, well, you found it already. It'll be on Facebook and on our webpage. But so today, you know, as I was reading through the Torah portion in Numbers, we're still seeing a lot of instructions, right? It's called Numbers, but it sounds a lot like Leviticus sometimes. They're just instructions and instructions. But we do get some other things thrown in there as well, which are meant to instruct us. So we get the story of Korah in there. We have Aaron's rod budding. We have the instructions on the duties of the priests and the Levites. And what are we doing? We're learning to be holy as we read through these. We're learning to be holy so that we can come closer to Him, to Adonai. Because isn't that our goal? Our goal is to get closer to Adonai. It's to become closer in thought and action. It's to be more like Him, more like Yeshua, our Messiah, that He sent to the earth to be our example of how to live holy. We know that Adonai created all things, the world, the universe. But we should also note that holiness really isn't inherent to the world. In other words, it's not natural for people to be holy. You know, left on their own. They need training. We need training to be holy. If we left it up to our bodies or our flesh, especially before the training of Torah, we would just be out there, lost somewhere in left field, doing our own thing. If you don't believe me, look at children. I love children. But you know, left on their own and untrained, they're always going to get themselves in trouble. And even if they don't get themselves in trouble, there's always the minions of Satan to help them get into trouble. But you know, as adults, we are not far off. We are right there with them. We will make wrong choices if we don't put our mind to it, if we don't put the training of Torah behind these choices. Because just like children have to be taught to act, so do we as adults have to be taught to make right decisions. This is why Yeshua gave us, or Adonai gave us, an instruction manual. It helps us to understand how we're to develop, and hopefully our children develop along with us because we teach them what we're learning. Now, that instruction manual, of course, are called the Scriptures, or the Bible, Torah, the instructions. And I've read, because I have not counted it myself, but I have read that holiness or holy occurs 900 times in Scripture. 900 times, that must mean it's pretty important. You know, under 800, hey, 900. 900's important. But in those 900 times, we're not just to learn about being holy. We're also learning who's to be holy, why we're to be holy, where we're to be holy, when we're to be holy, and how. It's sort of like we're writing. You remember in school, you learned how to write an article. It had to have the five W's and the H. The who, what, when, where, and the how. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. I forgot the why. You always forget the why. But we have to learn these things in order to be and maintain a holiness. And that's what we're going to speak about today. And this is actually the start. I know just the other week I said to you, I don't do series very often. Well, here we go. Here's a series. I'll be speaking on holiness today, next week, maybe that third week as well. Probably the third week right now as it looks. So, if we're going to speak about holiness, one of the first things we have to do is speak about what holiness is. Now, as a very basic definition, holy or holiness is what Adonai is. And what we desire to become. We desire to be holy because he is holy. That's his instruction. Be holy, for I am holy. So what is this holiness? It's being separated from the world. And that's the definition we hear so often, separated from the world. But much more specifically, it's not just separated from the world, it's separated from the evils of the world. And when I say separated from the evils of the world, I'm not talking about the people who do the evils. I'm talking about the spirit or the actions that are behind it. Because we're called to interact with the people. How will they hear the good news if we separate ourselves from all the people who do anything wrong? So what we can say is that Adonai is holy because he's separated from all things by his perfection. That's what separates him. You compare him to anything, he's perfect. And that causes the separation. So we say that we desire to become holy in the same way that he's holy. Means we want to be that kind of separation from the world, from the spirits of the world. But we also know we'll never be that perfect, that kind of perfect that he is. So does that mean we stop trying? Of course not. We try to become as close, as holy as possible. Following after him. It means cleansing our minds, maintaining a distance from those things that would try to drag us into the world. Again, it doesn't mean separating ourselves from the people, but it does mean separating yourself from those spirits. Sometimes it does mean separating yourself from the people. If you're an alcoholic, I'm saying don't go into the bars to witness to them. Find another place. There are other people to do that. You need to separate yourself from the things that will drag you down. Different people, different callings. That's okay. As we walk through life, we look into the scripture and follow the leading of the Ruach to be changed so that we can come closer to Adonai. Now, a physical illustration of this is the tabernacle and the furnishings that are within the tabernacle and around the tabernacle. As priests approached from the outside, the first thing they would see is the curtain to the tent. They wouldn't even be allowed in. There'd be that curtain of separation before they even got into the courtyards. Because there had to be a degree of holiness before you can even enter into the courtyard of the Lord. Once you're there, then you start seeing things of the Lord. Once you're in, you start seeing. You would see the lathe, the bath. You would see the altar, all of bronze, still bronze, because you've only accomplished a measure of holiness to get to that point. Now let's say you've reached that and you're ready to go in, and you go into the holy place. And inside the holy place, what do you see? Now you're starting to see gold. You got the menorah. You have the table of showbread. You have the incense altar. All of gold. Because you're getting closer to him. You're getting more holy in example and in action. Ritual cleanliness is coming, it has gotten there. And then you go even further in. You go into the Holy of Holies. And once you're into the Holy of Holies, what do you have? You have that golden ark. And you have the mercy seat that's on top of the ark. And on the mercy seat is where Adonai meets the priest. Each step required an additional layer of ritual cleansing. Each step required a holiness step to get into the Holy of Holies. So we also walk through life the same way. We strive to gain a measure of holiness, of righteousness, so that we can come closer to Adonai. Just as with Adonai, our holiness is also a separation of things of the world so that we may also be morally pure, ready for service, and ready to worship him. This morally pure and being ready for service is the living out of the instructions of Torah. Torah is those things we learn so that we live out the proper way and so that we can come closer, so that we can become that holiness for him. But Torah is more than that. It's even more than just instructions on how to be holy. They're instructions on how to recognize Messiah. The very basics instructions of who Messiah is are found in Torah, right? It tells us what to look for, and we've seen those things in Yeshua, our Messiah. Adonai tells us, be holy because he is holy, which we see when we read throughout all of Scripture. We can see in many Scriptures that Adonai is described as holy. Even in the liturgy that we speak each week. So Mi Kamocha comes from Exodus 15. And it says this. 15:11 of Exodus says, "Who is like you, Adonai, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, awesome in praise, doing wonders?" When we say that Adonai is holy, we are saying that he is separate from the world. Not the physical world, as in the physical world, the heavens are above the physical world. That's true. But that's not the way that he's separated. Only. But his ways are over our ways. His ways are greater than our ways. That's how he's separate from the world. His ways, that's that separateness, that's his holiness. And that's why he's worthy of praise. That's why his acts are wondrous to us. There is no way that we could act like him. And there is no way that he could act like us. We're reminded of this in Job 34 when Job says this, starting in verse 10. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Wickedness is far from God, and justice from Shaddai. For he repays a person for what he has done and brings on the person what he deserves. Truly, God does not act wickedly, and Shaddai does not pervert justice. Now, I think for pure impact of a verse, that verse 12, which says, truly God does not act wickedly, the NIV is a better interpretation of it. The NIV says, it is unthinkable that God would do wrong. It's just unthinkable that he would do wrong. And in the Message version, it says, it's impossible for God to do wrong. Just flat out impossible. How many people do you know that you would say that about? It's impossible for that guy to do wrong. I couldn't even think of this guy doing wrong. There's not a single man that that could be said about. Now, I know we'd like to think that there are some people who come close to this standard, but remember what Jeremiah told us in chapter 17, that men's hearts are deceitful. That doesn't mean that most people have a little deceit in them. All men have deceit within them. Like it or not, regardless of where they are in their position in life, regardless of where they are in the position of the kingdom of God, all men have a deceitful heart. Some control it a little better than others, but they are deceitful even to themselves at times. This is not a call to distrust everybody. This is a call to trust Adonai fully. As we say this about Adonai, and it's also true about Yeshua, the only person who ever lived on earth that we can say that about, he is the one who lived wholly even while on earth. Yeshua was the same before he was born of flesh, of men, lived a holy life, and died in that same holy state. When we speak of Yeshua before he was born, we can see that he was called holy in Luke. When the angel spoke to Miriam, or Mary, about the pending birth of Yeshua, he said this about him in Luke 1:34. And responding, the angel said to her, the Ruach HaKodesh will come upon you, and the power of Elyon will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One being born will be called Ben Elohim, Son of God. The angel called Yeshua, even before he was born, the Holy One. And he said that his name shall be Ben Elohim, the Son of God. And as he lived out his life doing the will of Adonai, his father, the world did not rub off on him. His life remained holy. Even as demonic spirits were around him, even the demonic spirits knew who he was, knew of him, knew of his nature. There was one time when a demonic spirit was before him. We see in Luke chapter 4. Look what happened there. Luke 4:33, reading from there. In the synagogue was a man who had an unclean demonic spirit. And he cried out with a loud voice, ah, what have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. The demonic spirit knew he was still the Holy One of God. Nothing changed after his birth. He was still holy. He was then and still is holy, separate from the ways of the world. And he died that way on a stake as well, for each of us to atone for his transgressions. The writer of Hebrews says this to us in Hebrews 7:26. For such a Kohen Gadol was fitting for us, holy, guiltless, undefiled, separated from sin, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need to offer up sacrifices day by day like those other Kohen Gadolim, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. The description of Yeshua was our great high priest is the description of holiness as well. He was holy. He was guiltless. He was undefiled. Even as he spent time on earth, as I said earlier, none of that undefiledness, none of that filth rubbed off on him. He was separate from sinners. But the separation, again, is not a physical separation, but instead of a spiritual separation. We see his actions as being with sinners, but not of sinners. In Matthew 9, starting in 9:10 of Matthew. Now it happened that when Yeshua was reclining at the table of the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Yeshua and his disciples, right? They're in the house of Matthew, the tax collector. And sinners and tax collectors were gathering around him. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does this teacher of yours eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he, Yeshua, heard this, Yeshua said, "Those who are healthy have no need for a doctor, but those who are sick do. Go now and learn what this means. Mercy I desire and not sacrifice, for I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinful." Yeshua came to call the sinner and to do what he needed to do for that sinner in his life right then. This is why he goes to the house of Matthew and ate with the sinners, ate with the tax collectors, so to give them the good news. And as per the writer of Hebrews, Yeshua still was holy, guiltless, undefiled, and separated from sinners. But when then the description goes even farther to describe Yeshua. It goes a step further just to show that he is truly greater than just a man. He's also described as exalted above the heavens so that he could be sacrificed and was sacrificed for all men as their Savior if they accepted him. With all this about Yeshua, Peter still writes that when we accept him as our personal atonement, our Savior, that we will still have challenging times. It sounds like, oh, I accepted Yeshua. Things should be easy from here on. I have the one whom victory is guaranteed in. There's still problems in life. There's still challenges in life. This is why in the 1 Peter, Peter writes this, starting in 1 Peter 1:13. So brace your minds for action. Keep your balance and set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. Like obedient children, do not be shaped by the cravings you had formerly in your ignorance. Instead, just like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in everything you do. For it is written, Kishodin you shall be, for I am Kadosh. Be holy, for I am holy. Brace your mind. Keep your balance. Set your hope and your mind, because tough times are coming. That's what he's saying. Tough times are coming. Brace yourself. Be ready. Keep your balance. Don't let something come and push you over. Keep your balance. Be ready, prepared. Boy, does that sound like it could be written today? Whew. Tough times these days, right? Tough times. But what do? We maintain ourselves as holy in everything that we do. We still have to maintain our balance, as hard as it is. We still have to brace our minds and keep our hope in Messiah Yeshua, as tough as that can be at times. So, did I really define what it is to be holy after all this? And I think I did. When we look at the who and the how Adonai and Yeshua acts. From Job, we were told Adonai is far from wickedness and injustice. Oh, I was way back there. Wow. Even I forgot about it that long ago. He's far from wickedness. He's far from injustice. So that we can say that holiness is being the opposite of wickedness and injustice. It's being kind, loving, just towards other people. From Hebrews, we read that Yeshua was holy, guiltless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Therefore, we also who want to be holy should be defined the same way. This is the intention of Torah in our lives. Torah is instructions on how to live holy lives for Him. To live spiritually separate from sinners while being undefiled by them and by the world. I'll get to a little more about the how in the following weeks. But let's talk first about who. Who's to be holy? We know Adonai and we know Yeshua, both are holy. I didn't speak about the Ruach HaKodesh specifically, but know as one in three, he is holy as well. They are holy, he is holy as one. But let's take a look at who else should be holy. Sounds like a silly question. Undoubtedly, it sounds like a silly question. But the question of who should be holy really also is asking, in just a different way, who's to be saved? Because the act of living holy is living out Torah, and all of Scripture is the action of living out a sanctified life. By living holy, it's not possible not to be saved. Because the Word instructs us not just how to live, but who to expect for our atonement. And if we are living out the Word, then we must believe in the prophecies of the Messiah. And I believe that we must believe that they've been fulfilled. So then who's to be saved, or who is to become holy? The singular answer, because there is really only one answer, it's given a few places in Scripture, is everyone. When Paul wrote to a young Talmudin of his, Timothy, he wanted to ensure that there was no question about who Adonai's desire to be saved is, who's Adonai desired to live out a holy life. 1 Timothy 4:9. Trustworthy is the saying and deserving of complete acceptance. For to this end we work hard and strive. We have set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who trust. Insist on these things and teach them. That was the instruction to Timothy. Shaul emphasizes that the saying is trustworthy and thus true, that Yeshua is the salvation of all peoples. He doesn't carve out anyone. but includes everyone. He doesn't say, well, except for the Romans who are persecuting us, or the barbarians who kill and destroy and maim in lands that are far off from us. He doesn't say, well, with the exception of the pagans who are wrong in their beliefs of many gods and sacrifice their children through fires. He says that Yeshua is the Savior of all people. Not only that, he stresses that Timothy insists that it's true and to teach it. And so it is today, that all men and women, regardless of race, creed, color, current religion, or beliefs, have only one Savior, one eternal Savior. And that Savior wants all people to be saved through his blood. So when we ask the question, who's to be saved? Who's to be holy? The answer should be very simple for us. All are to be saved. Even if they don't agree with us, even if what they're doing currently looks foolish to us, even if what we're doing looks foolish to them, all are to be saved. Look what Shaul says in his first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:27, starting there. Yet God chose the foolish things of the world so he might put to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world so he might put to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised things of the world, the things that are as nothing, so he might bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human might boast before God. It's a little funny in the way that that he worded, because it says here, the things, right? The weak things, the foolish things. Who are these? What are these things? They're the people. They're not just things, they're people. He chose the foolish people. He chose the weak people to put to shame the strong people. He chose the what we would look at as lowly people, despised people, the people who are looked at as if they were nothing. Those are the people God can use. Adonai does not choose who should be holy based on the status that they have, or even what status they will have in the future, but chooses those who will be able to be transparent for Adonai and not get in the way of his holiness and not get in the way of his glory, not get in the way of his honor. He does not look to see what their current beliefs are, or even if they make fun of him currently. In fact, remember the status of Shaul when he was called. He was going around arresting and killing believers. In fact, although Scripture doesn't say this, I'll bet he was at the stake, saw him hanging on the tree, probably made fun of him, and didn't even realize he was dying for him. I think this could be the reason that Peter wrote to the congregation about who they were in Messiah when he wrote this in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I think the people needed to be reminded that they were a holy nation. They needed to be reminded because they probably looked at themselves as described in 1 Corinthians. They probably looked at themselves as foolish people. They probably looked at themselves as weak people. They probably looked at themselves as lowly and despised people. But that's who Adonai chooses in order to use to bring everyone else down to that same level so that Adonai may be raised up. And he doesn't push them down to say, I'm the only one who can be up here. He's not playing King of the Hill. But he's showing who we really are. Because those strong really aren't strong. Those wise really aren't very wise when compared to who he is. But the truth is, the despised, they're not really despised. The weak, they're not really weak. The foolish, they're not really foolish if they're with him. So who's to be holy? Everyone is the simple answer. Everyone is to be holy. But understand as always that it is really a process. Becoming this holy, becoming that righteous, is really a process. Because even though salvation is through justification, And as soon as you're saved, you have that justification. As soon as you're saved, you're cleansed. But we're being molded. We're being shaped into a holiness over time. It takes a moment. It just takes a moment to get there. Don't expect and don't think anyone's gotten there instantaneously. It takes a moment. Also, don't think, I've gotten there, and that's it. You're not done yet. Don't look at yourself as wise and strong in yourself. No, you have that strength and wisdom through him, but we don't have it in ourselves. So we've heard today, holiness is a spiritual separation from the evils of the world, which we strive for, and that Adonai is, was, and always will be. Next week, I'm looking forward to continuing this being holy by going over why we become holy and where we become holy. Both strange questions to our ears, the why and the where. But that's what we'll be doing next week. And I believe that those are some good questions for us. And in the following week, we'll get into the how. And I missed one. Oh, when. How and when. So we're doing two this week, two next week, and two. By the time we're done, we'll have a whole article on holiness. And hopefully we'll have a, you know, I think as a congregation, we have a pretty good feel of holiness. But we're going to have a better feel, I think. And for those who are listening at home, I think, you know, maybe you know where you are as far as being holy. And maybe you need that little fine-tuning in your lives. Amen? Father, we just thank you that we can depend upon you for our righteousness and our holiness. That without you, we have no holiness of our own. Because like a child, we will make foolish decisions when we're left to our flesh. We will choose poorly. I know I choose poorly. Even these days, there are times that after I do something, I go, that was a poor choice. But Adonai, you are great and mighty and forgiving. And when we come to you and confess and ask, you will cleanse us of our sin again. So I thank you for that. And I ask, even today, help us in our holiness. Help us as we strive to be more and more like you each and every day. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.